What a time to be alive. Now, if you're a bit of a social media addict, you'll know this as a pithily sarcastic phrase, usually used to illustrate an exhausted existential horror at the intricacies of modern life. It's also the title of my next guest's book, What a Time to Be Alive, That and Other Lies of the 2016 Campaign. It's Mark DeStefano's tell-all diary of the extraordinarily ugly double dissolution election campaign that we saw last year. Mark is also going to be taking the stage at Sydney Writers Festival for, amongst many other things, a panel called Question Time, looking at political writing. He joins me on the phone. Mark, good morning.
G'day, Nick. How are you going? What a time to be alive indeed.
What a time to be alive indeed. Look, politics has never been boring in our country, but I think political reporting has tended to be quite dry. Why do you think we've seen such a, I guess, seismic shift in the way we write politics these days? I mean, has politics changed or has the audience?
I think the way that the people out there in the audience receive information has changed pretty fundamentally. I mean, I remember when I was at university in 2006, 2007, 2008, you know, you'd pick up the paper every day, you'd watch the TV at night, or you might listen to the radio during the day. But now it's about, you know, you can plug into a whole bunch of different channels on social media. And I think that what that has allowed is a flowering of creativity. And I think that, you know, I've tried to harness that in my writing. And I think there are a lot of political writers out there these days that realise that you can actually convey important information without it being dry and turgid. You know, you can actually be creative. You can play with things. You can access people in different ways and try to experiment with form. And I think that that's what BuzzFeed and that's what a bunch of other people are trying to do every day. Try to keep people engaged and excited by something that is an important part of our lives.
Do you think that also opens it up to new audiences, like people who might never have thought of themselves as very political?
Oh, totally. I mean, the best thing that I get is people who come up to me in the street and say, you know, love what BuzzFeed Oz Poll is doing on Twitter. You know, I'm always impressed with some of the Facebook pages that are sort of set up in the recent years to, you know, rally around supporters, of course, but convey important information. People are doing really interesting videos on Facebook and Instagram, and I think that that stuff is an amazing way for us to engage a different audience who might not pick up the paper, who might not click on a news program at night instead just watch Netflix, and who might not sort of tune into radio or listen to podcasts. I think we're in a golden age of content in many ways. There's so many ways that you can get news and information. And I think it's a job for a journalist to figure out an experiment and of the modern journalist and try out all these channels and sort of what we like to do is sort of put a pressure hose against the channels with journalism and see what comes out of it.
Does bad politics make for good journalism in that case?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the narrative of the last, I think, what is it, 8 or 9 years now, which is complete leadership instability, has been good for journalism in this country because it meant that people want to know the latest of what's going on. But that's not necessarily good for the country itself. And I think we've seen that recently is, you know, you've got a bunch of regimes or prime ministers who don't necessarily take the risks that they need to take. And I think that is sad. I mean, also look at the UK and the US. I mean, oof. One of the things that has been the most rallying cry for places like the Washington Post and the New York Times is the fact that Donald Trump was elected. So you see the flood of subscribers come in their doors and go onto their websites and take out subscriptions. In the UK, you've got Brexit. So I think that, you know, political instability is always going to be good for reporters because it means that more people are going to want to read what you're putting out. But as I said, it's not necessarily that great for the country.
It's not that great for the country. And I think I saw you retweet one of your US political writer colleagues saying that every morning she wakes up and just thinks, what has he done today?
Yeah, you know, it's a dread. I don't know if you, Nick, I think, look, I follow you on Twitter, so I'm pretty sure that I know what you're about. But it's sort of like, you know, when you unlock your phone every day and you're kind of like, I mean, I wake up at about 6 a.m. and literally the first thing I do is unlock my phone and open the Twitter app. And you just sort of scroll through your timeline and looking, it's like, what's next? You know, like, I think that you can wake up and think to yourself, like, I went to bed last night with the latest Donald Trump controversy thinking, oh, surely this is going to move along. And, you know, there it is. Like, you wake up and there's another New York Times scoop, another New York Times exclusive. And I think that it's sort of treating or sort of training the audience and people like you and me to always expect something new and exciting and entertaining to be there in the political news space. And I don't necessarily think that that's a great thing, because sometimes politics is slow, sometimes policymaking is slow. So if you're always looking for the next dramatic moment, then potentially what you're doing is training your audience to expect something that they're going to be let down by, which is a bad thing.
It is a very bad thing. Look, I did see Comey memos making the news in the New York Times today, suggestion that Trump even asked if the FBI could start jailing reporters for reporting on leaks. Do you think in Australia we've been lucky that we still have a fairly open press?
Yeah, look, I think the one thing that Australia has that other places around the world don't have is a really strong public broadcaster. So I think the importance of ABC News in this era is ridiculous. ABC News is still one of the most, most visited websites in the country. People still flock to radio and TV to listen to their broadcasts and their bulletins. What it's meant is that if you run to the left and run to the right, which is what they do in the US when it comes to their media, it means that, you know, you're going to put off a lot of people that you're not going to catch up in the centre. So I think that that's the one thing that we can say in Australia that we have over many other places. And, of course, the UK has BBC. And I think that a strong public broadcaster has been one of our saving graces. I think, you know, I still want to see as much diversity in the media here as possible. And, you know, new entrants, the New York Times Bureau is setting up here. You know, BuzzFeed has come along the last couple of years, as has Huffington Post and The Guardian. I think that's all good, but the thing that we're losing, and I don't think it's any surprise to people who've been watching this space in the last couple of years, is that the thing we're losing is local reporters. You know, BuzzFeed doesn't do as much local journalism as Fairfax. We just can't. It's not what we're sort of set up to do. And I think that the really concerning thing is that what we're missing is state political coverage, is local council coverage, is that the corruption at a much more micro level that probably companies like ours can sometimes miss, but by just being focused on the national political stage. So I think that, you know, Australia has been quite buffered from what's going on in the US. We don't have like a right-wing Fox News and a left-wing echo chamber like they probably do. We still have it in a different way, but we do have an ABC that sort of sits in the center and tries to pass out in the end and give it a sort of a meta-narrative that if you're not following every single tweet and every single play-by-play, you can sort of tune in and get a really good impartial news broadcast.
And of course, you can still jump on Mark Latham's Facebook Live videos if you really want. Look, just quickly, we should, towards the end, talk about Sydney Writers Festival. You are, amongst many other panels, going to be on Question Time. Bridie Jabour from The Guardian. You've got Chris Allman from the ABC, Steve Lewis, Jeff Sparrow. It sounds like a Canberra insider dream team.
Yeah, I mean, that is the one thing that sometimes audiences hate, which is a whole bunch of journalists getting together and making inside jokes. I think that the reason why that panel's really good is you've got a really great mix of young and old. I mean, Bridie from The Guardian is one of the best sort of news editors in the country. Yeah. Then you've got Chris Yulman from the ABC, who's the political editor. And I think that, Steve Lewis is now a spinner, and he spent a lot of time working as a journalist at the Daily Telegraph and News Corp. So I think it's a really good mix of young and old, and that's the reason why I'm excited for the festival, which is to sort of say to people, like, come along and bring your questions about what is going on behind the scenes. I mean, that's what I did in my book constantly, saying to everyone that there's actually this curtain that is pulled up when it comes to politics. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. It's sort of like the, you know, the Wizard of Oz thing. There's a lot of sort of pulling of strings that the audience don't get to see. So I always, like, besiege people, and I say this on Twitter all the time, and any chance I get, you know, ask us questions, and we'll do as much as possible to be able to tell you about, like, how we get our sources and how we do our process in getting the news. And I think that that's the most important thing when it comes to these sort of events. You get a chance to stand up and ask a few questions. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be great, and I hope people come along.
Yeah, look, it does sound great. Pay all the attention to the man behind the curtain is the takeaway. Mark, I'll let you get on with your day. Thanks so much for chatting to Breakfast this morning.
Thanks so much, Nick. And good on you and to SER for doing the most amazing job fostering the best young journalists in the country.
Thank you very much. I'm going to pass that on to our news guys. That was Mark DiStefano there, BuzzFeed's political editor. He's going to be on a panel called Question Time, along with a few other panels at Sydney Writers Festival.